Good morning, welcome back to Aliyah Yomi. Today we're going to be learning Achrei Mos Sheni, the second Aliyah in Parshas Achrei Mos. Our Aliyah is seven psukim long, running from Perek Tes Zayin in Sefer Vayikra, from Pasuk Yud Ches to Chof Daled. The topic of our Aliyah is the two goats. We're told, V'yotzo el hamizbeach asher lifnei Hashem. So at this point in time, the Kohen has already performed the Avodah, the service on one of the goats. He has shechted the one which is La Hashem, and he has sprinkled its blood internally. And now what happens is he takes the live goat, the one which had La Azazel, and we're told that he places, after atoning for all the internal kelim, the Mizbeach HaPanimi, the Mizbeach HaChitzon, the internal and external Mizbeach, then he takes this live goat, places his hands upon its head, V'svada alov es kol avonos b'nei Yisrael v'es kol pishem l'chol chatasam. And he will now do a confession for all the sins of Israel, for all the sins on it. V'shilach b'yad ish iti hamidbar, and he'll send in the hands of a responsible or a timely man, and goes out to the desert. And this sa'ir, this goat, will carry upon its head all the sins of Israel, el eretz gezerah, to a decreed land, and will be sent out into the desert. Then Aaron will come, and he'll take off his clothes, he'll switch his clothes, and he'll leave them there, and he will then wash himself again, and this goes going to the mikveh, and then going to do his olah, his offering, and the olas ha'am v'chiper ba'adav ha'adam, and then he'll turn for himself and the people. So a few basic points to understand what is actually going on over here. It starts off with just with the basic Seder, the basic order of what's happening here. As Rashi points out, that there really are five switches of clothing. Rashi points out that first, at the beginning of the day, the Kohen Gadol starts off in the big day Zahav in his golden clothes. These golden clothes are used to perform the Avodah, the regular Avodah in the morning of the Olas Tamid. In addition, the Kohen will also perform the Avodah of the Ketores. All the regular things are done in the morning. Then he switches into the white clothes and he does the Avodah Sapnim, the internal service. This is when he takes that power, that he does two confessions, first for himself and then for the tribe of Kohuna. And then he takes the Seir HaChai, the live goat, and does the atonement for all of Israel on the secondary goat. He does shechts the one goat, shechts the one ox, takes their blood, sprinkles it all inside with the ketores. That is all done in the white clothes. Then after sending off this goat, as we see in our Aliyah, he then comes and he switches back to gold and does the musaf, which is the sacrifice, the extra sacrifice for Yom Kippur being a Yom Tov. Then he goes back into white clothes to take out the incense spoon, which is still smoldering inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then he comes back and he finishes up the day winning the big day Zahav. So it goes gold, white, gold, white, gold. And in between each of those times, he then goes to the mikvah. It's worthwhile actually reading the Mishnayos in Yuma, in Maseches Yuma, to understand the general progression of what happens in the Seir La'azazel. And it's important to sort of appreciate what's generally happening over here. The Mishnayos actually in Yuma, in the 4th, 5th, and 6th parak, really add a lot of detail to what it is that is said in the Torah over here. First of all, when the lottery was done, they would tie a red string around the horns of the goat which was going to be sent away. And then we hear about all the details of this very specific vidui that Kohen Gadol does on its head. And then when they would send out this seir, this goat, this is going to be literally the scapegoat, they had a special ramp outside Jerusalem so that there were a number of people who would object to the service, the Bavliim, this would be above the heads of the people so people could not interrupt the service, so it would go straight out from the Har HaBayis to the Temple Mount to outside Jerusalem. And there would be a path which would be quite a significant distance, about 12 kilometers from Jerusalem, and they would have these little booths along the way. There would be number of booths every so often in order to have these, so to speak, resting points. And at each booth, there would be people offering this person escorting the Seir, whether he needed food or water. Yes, it was Yom Kippur, but he would be allowed, this person would be allowed, technically speaking, to perform this Avodah of Yom Kippur, if need be, to eat or drink, but he never did. What they would do is they would get to this place, the Tsuk, which is this cliff, which is where they would take it to. And they would they had this scarlet, this red ribbon, which is around its horns. And what they would do is they would tie one half of that. They'd rip it in half, tie half of it to the rock at the top, and then they would push it backwards over the edge of the cliff, and it would over the side of the cliff, it would actually fall to parts. It would die in the process of falling down. And at this point in time, they would know that the sins were atoned for. As well, there was a miracle that the red ribbon would turn white if, in fact, the kapara process was atoned for. A few other points to note over here, just in basically understanding our aliyah, is number one is that the way it describes this process is it says that he would send it to the midbar, to the desert, which sounds like, if translated directly without the addition of Chazal's understanding of what was actually going on, it sounds like that he would just bring it out to the desert and let it go, so much like the two birds. The Netziv of Elojin actually does make the following point, that there were two options as to how it could work. And that is that when the Bnei Yisrael, when the nation of Israel, doing the will of Hashem, then they would be able to take it to the cliff, throw it off the edge of the cliff, and the Avodah of Yom Kippurim was affected. However, when it was done in a way where Bnei Yisrael were not in a fitting time, let's say after the times of Shimon HaTzadik, as the Mishnah says it, then they would take it to the Midbar, to the desert, and it would run away. They wouldn't have the opportunity of fulfilling this divine service as well. Few basic questions is, number one is how does it work that the sins are carried on a goat? Goats can carry sins? You can put sins on goats? How does that work exactly, this notion of scapegoat? You know, this is Judaism. This is not some sort of, backwards, suspicious, taboo kind of, pagan religion. How does that work that sins go on goats? So the Oznaim Torah has a very fascinating suggestion. He quotes Chazal that when a person sins, they create a metaphysical being, a machabel, a metaphysically damaging being. And when a person does the process of tshuva, they're able to disassociate from that negative force, which is a spiritual force which surrounds a person because of the negative action they did. Now, yes, you can't measure this. You can't see this on a screen. You can't even see this on an electromagnetic sensor, right? Because our tools are not fashioned to measure metaphysics. But nonetheless, this metaphysical being exists, this negative force. And when a person does teshuva, they disassociate from that negative force. However, that negative force does not go away. It still exists. And the reason it exists is because if a person were to relapse, a person were to return to that sin, then this force would join with the newly created force and actually be more intensively negative and damaging if a person relapses into such a sin pattern. However, if a person has managed to disassociate from it, so now they've done teshuva, they've disassociated from this force, and now Yom Kippur arrives, and then when Yom Kippur arrives, it will in fact destroy this force. This force, this disassociated force, if the teshuva was done, will no longer be hanging out, waiting to reattach itself to any relapses. And that's one of the powers of Yom Kippur. And therefore, in a sense, what the Rav Solotzkin says is that on Yom Kippur, what the Kohen Gadol is doing is he is harnessing all of those disassociated forces, all the people who created all these averos, all these negative forces in the world. What he is going to do is he's going to attach them to the Seir. He's attaching them to this goat. And when it is falling over the cliff, it is in a certain sense destroying all those metaphysical forces which were created, which were separated from, but waiting for a re-access point. Those are no longer going to be. That's really what's going on. Very powerful idea. Rav Hirsch has a very different perspective here. He says this is all a metaphor for a very, very profound perspective. And that is that you'll know the Mishnah describes in Maseches Yoma, in the fourth parak, that these Se'irim, based on the Psukim, need to be identical. They're the same height, the same appearance, the same age. They have to be identical Se'irim of goats. Why is it so significant? So Rav Hirsch says that these are two versions of ourselves. These are the sliding door realities of self. How it could be. There's two ways that we could look this year. One is the half of us, or the version of self which could be, which really doesn't necessarily make sacrifice, which so to speak avoids the path which requires confrontation of self, requires self mending, that requires introspection and change. That part of ourselves we avoid. We avoid the sacrifices necessary to make the effort to change. And therefore, we so to speak, carry on in, you know, moving further and further away from holiness, further and further from the Jerusalem, the epicenter of our lives. And we go off until one moment in time, we suddenly fall off the edge of a cliff and we're no longer. The other version of self, the other possibility of ourself, is the possibility which requires sacrifice and in a certain sense, shechting, cutting down some animalistic version of self. If we're able to do that sufficiently and correctly, then we're able to enter into the Holy of Holies. But it requires sacrifice. It requires going through sometimes painful processes of sacrificing parts of ourselves which we found very dear to ourselves. Those two versions of reality exist in front of us every year. Beginning of every year, we have the opportunity of saying, am I going to go with the path of the least resistance? Which unfortunately doesn't feel, at the beginning doesn't feel so bad, but in the end of the day ends up over a cliff. Or am I going to make the sacrifices necessary and come closer and come to the closest I possibly can with the Almighty? But that requires sacrifice. Those are the Shnei Seirim. They are really ourselves. The metaphor for what it means to be an active chooser, an active person who's choosing which destiny they choose this year. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.